announcement. Many of you are aware of the devastating storms that hit many of the different places and believers, different churches and believers that were affected by it in many of the areas, Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, East Tennessee, and that. And so I feel that I'm going to take up an offering on Sunday, and I'll send out a text. So for everybody who's not here, I'll reach out to them. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take up an offering, and then whatever we take up, Brother Donnie's church has a way that I can get the money to them directly and quickly. And that's really what they need. They need it to be there quick. We don't need to be mailing checks, or we sure in the world don't need to be going on the road over there, because they don't want people out on the roads over in that area and that. So Brother Donnie and his church, they've set up something where we can just do the money just real quick, and it's just instantly there. And they said, you know, that they're trying to provide food and water and generators and many other items to small communities in the nearby mountains of Tennessee and North Carolina, because many of the homes have been destroyed and washed out and things. And so don't have electricity, water, telephone, or cell service or anything. So they have come up with a way to get the stuff to them. And so it's I'll just send it. I'll just do it through what they got set up to send it. And because we, you know, it's our brothers and sisters in need. You know, people of the world, there's worldly people there, they're in need as well. People of the world are helping them out, you know. But we need to take care of ours too. And you know, the thing is just to help them, you know. And I don't seek any recognition for me or this church or anything for it or anything. I just want to try to get it there as quick as we can to try to help them. And that, so I'll take up an offering for it on Sunday. And then I'll get the money sent through their thing they have set up online, and I'll have to put the money in the bank, and as soon as I get it in the bank, well then I can get it sent over there. And amen. Let's just bow our heads in order of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for Lord, giving us this opportunity to be here tonight. Lord, we look to you, Father, as we go to this chapter that we've been studying out of here, Lord, and we're asking, God, you to lead us and guide us, Lord, in the understanding, Lord, of your word. Lord, for the betterment of your people, Lord, of your body of believers, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to go to Philippians chapter 2 and begin reading verse 12. I don't know how far I'll get tonight. I've been having to break these chapters up here in Philippians to try to really spend time and get to everything. But we hadn't in the past had to maybe break it up as much or spend as much time on any one thing, but this one particular verse here, we may be spending a couple of services or so on this. So I'm going to read from verse 12 down to 18, but we're mostly going to be covering verse 12 here this evening. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. Amen. You may be seated. Paul speaking here says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Paul doesn't mean that you can actually, through your works, earn your salvation. That is not what Paul is referring to here. We know that your works, no matter how good they are, no matter how good a person's morals are, we know that we're all born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and that we have need of salvation that we can't bring to ourselves. Man needed a sacrifice to come and take his place in order to bring salvation to him. Once man disobeyed the word in the garden and fell into sin, then there was required one to come to actually bring salvation and bridge the way back to life for man, and actually redeem man and redeem all that man had lost, that God had given him in the beginning. That's not what Paul means when he's saying, work out your own salvation. Brother Branham said, it's actually one of man's biggest problems, is he says, man's always trying to find a way to save himself and outside of the program of God. And he said, many times men, he says, joining church doesn't save you. He said, joining church is just a religion. That's just religion. He said, but that's not God's program. And he said, men will try different things that they'll look at to try to bring a way to save themselves and feel justified, because they don't really want to come the way that God says for them to come, because that requires complete surrender. That requires letting go. That requires dying to self. Dying to flesh, that, you know, there's no way that you can be saved. And the Bible says you can't serve two masters. You can't hold to one. It says you either hold to one and forsake the other, or forsake the other and hold to the other one. And you can't serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and the devil. Remember me saying there's only two spirits of influence in the world today, and that's the spirit of God and the spirit of the devil. And when you look at what Paul is saying here and look at the things that Brother Branham covers on this, you know, just because somebody's wanting to be saved doesn't mean they're being influenced by the spirit of God. People think when they hear somebody say, well, I want to get right, I want to come back to church, I want to do right, and that it must be God moving on them. But, you know, the thing about it is, look at the fruits. You know, just like the Bible says, Jesus said it, John said it, said, bring forth fruits meet for repentance. In other words, that God's program is repentance. You can't work out your salvation. All you can do is accept the salvation that Christ paid the price for 2,000 years ago. So, Brother Bam said, you might have said, well, I just got saved. He said, no, you just accepted your salvation. He said, you were actually saved 2,000 years ago when Jesus died. But then you had to hear the word and accept it. And that's the big key when you study this through the scriptures and study through what the prophet of God in this last age said. It comes down to being able for people to accept it, to receive it. Brother Branham says this. He says, when God sends a gift, and if you read this where Brother Branham's talking about this, all right, it's actually in the message of the Queen of Sheba in 1957. Brother Branham is actually, when he's talking about this gift, he ain't talking about gifts of the Spirit. You read this through, you find out Brother Branham is actually talking about a man of God that sent from God a gift from God to speak the word to the people in order for, and then he says, then when the people hear it, he says, if they will receive it. And he says, look, it's okay. The people have, he says, they have the right to prove it. And he said, and he says, but if God sends that gift, that man, he said, God will vindicate it. And he says, once God is vindicated, then he says, if the people will receive it, he said, then they will have life. He said, but when they reject it, he says, then the scripture says what lays ahead for them is gross darkness. And he says, gross darkness actually sits in upon them immediately. Now, what does that mean about gross darkness? Well, it means that the people are going to think they're all right. That's the gross darkness. It's not a gross darkness story like all of a sudden they feel like, well, all of a sudden I don't feel like I'm saved anymore. No. They believe they are. They believe they're all right. Why would they believe they're all right? Because they, Brother Branham says, they have, and this is what he called it. He says, they got a homemade religion. Well, when I read that and studied on that, and that stuck out to me, and I was going back over there in the back room there, a homemade religion. I'm going to tell you, we got a whole lot of that. Around people who say they believe Brother Branham or follow this message. We got a whole lot of homemade religion. They got their own ways worked out on how they're all right and how they're going to be there. You know, it boggles the mind when you look at it and you see people and you think I'm just exaggerating here. I'm not exaggerating. I have saw these things and heard these things directly from people. We got people out here, friends, I've known people even in the past, out there getting high on pot, but say they believe this message and believe they're going to be there, they're going to be all right, because they have hung that on something that they have, that has been homemade, something that was taught. I'm going to tell you something. These preachers that have preach this kind of garbage, they're going to answer on the day of judgment when they preach, well, your whole, you can just claim your family and your family will be there even if they live like devils. That is a lie. When Brother Branham was asked that question and they said, what about the Philippian jailer? And he said, you and your whole house will be saved. He said, is that the way it is that you know, we can claim our family and our whole family be saved? He said, if they believe like you believe. But I'm going to tell you something, friends. If they're sitting out here and won't even darken the doors of a church, they don't believe what you believe. They may say they believe this prophet. They may say they believe this message. But if their life isn't lining up with what he said, they don't believe it. What they believe is some kind of homemade religion. And they'll take teachings that people say, well, I read this out of a Mother's Day book where Brother Branham said, your whole family's going to be sitting there with you. Well, you just take and stand on that one book alone and throw the rest of the message out. And I guarantee you where you'll be standing on the day of judgment will not be back on the side with Jesus. You're going to be standing out there answering for it. You know what Brother Branham said? Brother Branham says this in the, in the message of Straight is the Gate, 1959, he said, there's sure going to be some great disappointment at the judgment. Listen to what he says here. He said, look, he said, the bootlegger and the beer hound and the prostitute and the gambler, they all know where they stand. They know where they'll stand at the judgment. He said, but where the disappointment's going to be is those who thought they were right. Who thought they were right. And he said, that's where the disappointment. When they got up there, the Bible said they'll say, sure, we cast out devils in your name. Sure, we were preachers. We belong to certain churches. We've done great miracles. And friends, look, we got people around the message today. They don't even believe in going to church. I don't know where they got that from, because it sure wasn't from the message that we listened to. It wasn't from the prophet that we claim to be the messenger to our age. Because he never preached that stuff. He never said, stay home and just, why, look, friends, if he believed that, then why didn't he use whatever technology that was available at the time? You know, we've got satellite and everything else now, and internet and everything else. They didn't have that back then. But why didn't he just use every technology he had back then to say, look, everybody stay home, I'll just preach, and y'all can just get it that way? Why was it that he told people, don't everybody move over here to Jeffersonville? This is not where the rapture's going to be. It's a universal rapture. When 1962, when he was going out to Arizona, and the Lord was sending him out there because he was going to reveal the seals to him. And Brother Branham was talking about this in the messages there in 1962, and he was telling visions and dreams and interpretations and all these things, and he was saying, I'm going out there out west to Arizona. He told the people, don't follow me. You don't have to be where I'm at. He never said, you just got to listen to me. But he did say what I say. Brother, what I'm telling you is, Brother Branham never, ever did he do away with or preach that there was going to be done away with the other parts of the fivefold ministry. Brother Branham said that actually God would send that God-sent prophet to the age, and then that word and message would be delivered out, and he said, and then it would be spread by the preachers in that age that had sat under the ministry of that end time prophet. And he, by sitting under, he didn't mean they had to be present in Jeffersonville when he was alive. Friends, I'm going to tell you, I have sat under the ministry of Brother Branham. I know what he said. I know what he taught. And that's why I cannot be shaken, and I ain't got no time to listen and watch these videos of all these people that went out from us. Paul said they went out from us because they weren't part of us. I got no time for them. I mean, you think about it. Just in your natural life, there's been times you've been talking to somebody and you know they were just saying a bunch of babble that meant nothing. They were talking like they knew it all. And you've come across them people and you've realized they didn't know nothing. The more they talked, the more they showed their ignorance. Well, that's the way a lot of these ones that's left this message and everything and the things they're saying about Brother Branham in this message, the more they talk, the more they just show their, not only their ignorance, but the more they show they have rejected it, and therefore they have been swallowed up by gross darkness. Some of them are thinking, well, daddy or granddaddy said something over them. And somehow, because something was said over them, they're going to be there. I'm going to tell you what. That's what this scripture means by work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It means you don't get there because
because of who your daddy was. You don't get there because of who your grandpa was or your mama was. That's not how you get there. And you can't say, well, they love me, so I'll be there. That's not going to do it. The Bible don't preach that nonsense. Jesus didn't teach that nonsense. Jesus said, he didn't talk about loving your mama and loving your daddy and your grandpa and all this and them loving you. He said, if you loved him, Jesus. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And so I'm going to tell you, all these people saying they love Brother Branham and they can't keep what he preached, just take that and translate it, because look, friends, it wasn't Brother Branham, but it was the God in Brother Branham. Right. Loving Brother Branham's flesh won't get you nothing. Amen. That's right. Amen now. There's times that I've thought in my life, well, I'd have loved to have been actually there present when Brother Branham was alive and preaching, been in one of the services. But you know something? It's greater what we got now. Amen. It's greater now. The Bible says it is greater to have never seen, but yet believed. I wasn't there present. I never saw it with my own eyes in person, but I believe it. And there's been a lot that were there present that, friends, did not believe it, and their lives showed it. Well, I believe this message, but I've got drinking in bars and knife fights and everything else, and then some preacher gets up and preaches them into heaven when they die. There's sure going to be some disappointment at the judgment. Because he said, it's those who thought they were right. Now listen to what else he says here. He says, they said that we've done miracles and we've preached and we've been a steward in a church and I've been this and that. He says, and God will say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. That's the disappointment. Now listen, catch this. Now first we're talking about those who thought they were right. Now listen to this. This is just all right in here. He just is all right, one sentence right after another. And he said, that's the disappointment. He said, the children of their children will come in and sit down in the kingdom and say, we got a right to be here. And he says, and they'll be cast out into outer darkness where they'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there'll be that find it. And he said, well, people said, well, I believe Brother Branham is a prophet. I believe this message. I've been baptized. This is what Brother Branham says here. He said, you say, well, I've been baptized. He said, that's good. He said, I've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, that's good. He said, that's the Bible. But if the life doesn't follow it, it didn't do you much good to be baptized. Hallelujah. It didn't do you any good to be baptized. He said, look, instead of man always tries to make some homemade way, he said, to actually, he said, you know, religion means a covering. And he said, that all started back with Adam. When Adam and Eve fell into sin, he said, they tried to man-made, homemade covering. And he said it was a religion, that fig leaf religion, Brother Branham called it. Right. He said it was a religion. He said it was their covering. He said, but that homemade covering they had didn't stand up in the presence of God. And he said, and man always trying to find a way to save himself. He says, he'll end up running and hiding behind something, some kind of covering. He said, instead, now listen to what he says here. He said, instead of coming out and confessing in the open and being sincere about it and saying, God, I've sinned, forgive me, he'll run and hide behind something for a covering. Listen, friends, listen to me now. Look, there are people that have come in knowledge of this message. And if you look at their pattern, Brother Ram says, here's the thing. He says, they'll come to justification. Said they'll come to sanctification. He said, but they'll stop right there just like Judas did. He said, and they'll never come to actually receiving the Holy Ghost. Now, why is that? Well, let's look at it. What is sanctification? It means a cleaning out. So they get cleaned out. But then Brother Branham takes that and he says, now take it to the scripture. And he says, when a spirit has gone out of a man, he said, it will walk in dry places and finding no place to rest, it'll say, I'll return again to my home, the person that it left. And he said, notice this, that spirit wasn't cast out, the spirit just left. That's a big difference. So this person that's come that far, they got scared out, and maybe for a while it seems like, woo, they seem so good, they're living a good, seeming like a good life, a good testimony, you know. They're worshiping God in church. Boy, they're clapping their hands, they're shouting. They want to go out and testify. They'll even come up to the altar and help pray for somebody. But eventually, because their house is empty, they never got the Holy Ghost. Now, you know why they didn't get the Holy Ghost? Because they couldn't surrender. They couldn't really die out. They never left their former master. All the only thing that actually brought them back, and they're in and out of church. And the only thing that brings them back is their conscience starts smiting. Not the conviction of the Holy Spirit now. Don't get that confused. Because the conviction of the Holy Spirit on somebody will actually bring a true, genuine repentance. But if somebody's conscience is just smiting them, you know, because what it is, friends, they get in church and they're there and they've got cleaned out and they feel good. They feel so good. They feel better than they felt when they were out drinking. They felt better than they felt when they were out getting high on dope. They felt better than they ever felt when they were out doing cocaine, whatever, you know, crack or whatever else. They feel so much better and relieved now. And they, boy, they enjoy that feeling. But they got, remember what Brother Ram said? He called the Holy Ghost a tie post. Brother Ram said, you take a man walking down the street, said, if he ain't got that tie post, the Holy Ghost, he said, Satan will walk some Jezebel down the street past him. He said, and I don't even care if he's a preacher. He said, if he ain't got the tie post, he said, he'll want to cross the street and make a date with her. He said, because he got nothing to hold him. He said, but if that tie post is there, then that tie post will hold him. That's the problem, see. They got in because their conscience was smiting them and they wanted to feel better. They remember what they felt when they went to church before. So they want that again. Now, they're not going to come where somebody's preaching like this because that calls for a true, total repentance. And they don't want that, see. They're rejecting, actually, the gift that God has sent to speak the word to bring the deliverance. They don't want to, that's God's way. They don't want to come God's way. They want to make their own homemade religion as a covering for themselves so they can say they're all right. Now here's the whole thing, friends. When they reject the gift of God and the voice of God, and then they go out and they make this homemade religion, they are the ones that think they're all right. And they want to convince you, other message people, that they are all right. And I'm going to tell you something. They've been around enough. And you got to realize the influence they're under. They know how to act. They know what to say to who. I'm going to tell you something, friends. I don't care what nobody's got to say. I don't care what they're telling me they're doing or whatever else. You know, I don't even care what it looks like they're doing. If they've got unconfessed sin laying there and they've never repented of that, Brother Branham said, and come out and openly confess that and said, I've sinned, I've done wrong, I'm making that right. Then I'm going to tell you something. They're not sincere. All they got is something that's a covering. And the gross darkness part of it is they accept that then and therefore then believe they're all right. That's why there's going to be, he said, some that are so disappointed at the judgment. Look, I'm going to tell you something, friends. Look, what happens, they get into church. Look, I've watched them cycle in and out of this assembly over the years. And I've seen some, they actually cycled out of here, went up north, cycled up there, burnt their bridges up there. Then came back down here. And feel like they burnt their bridges here, so they go somewhere else. You know what it is? They don't want to come God's way. They don't want to account for and actually repent. All they want is to have this feeling that they feel. Look, it's all emotion. They just want to have that feeling of feeling right and good again. But you watch what happens. Mark what I'm telling you. You give it long enough. And if they don't get the Holy Ghost, if they don't truly repent, you know where they'll be? Right back out there where they were before. They'll cycle out of that church and be right back out in the world somewhere again. And you get to talking to them, boy, they want to talk like they just know it and they're so spiritual. I'll tell you what, there's been a lot of folks that I've dealt with and that I had dealings with in the past, they got really frustrated at me. I've had them get so frustrated at me, friends, that they actually told me, I can't figure out what you're thinking. They couldn't figure out what to say to me if they tried to talk real spiritual, and yet they were living a life that it was in sin and things like that. I didn't accept them as being spiritual. I'm going to tell you something. Y'all should know this about me by now. When it comes to the things of God, I don't play games. Because I'm going to tell you why I don't. God didn't play no games with me. God don't play no games with anybody else. I'm going to tell you, there is one way, and it's God's way. It's the Bible way. Brother Branham said there's only one book that everybody's going to be judged by. And it ain't none of these church books or any of these homemade religions. Some of these folks, friends, they have made up homemade religions around this message. They could write their own book. They could write their own Bible on it. But that's not what they're going to be judged by. They're going to be judged by the Word of God, Brother Branham said. Brother Branham says, you know what it means to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? It means you don't get saved because of anybody else. You aren't saved because of who your daddy is or your mama or your grandpa or your grandma. It's your own salvation. Work out your own salvation. You ain't getting there because mama loved you. You ain't getting there because daddy loved you. Amen. Graham said what it really means, working out your own salvation, and it's what Paul was teaching. When you go back here, let's just read this so you know where I'm getting this from, you know, and I'll show you where I'm getting it from, what Brother Branham says, but Paul says this. Let's go back here to Philippians 2, and Paul says, for it is God which worketh in you to both to will and do his good pleasure, verse 15, that ye may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. Look down to verse 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. What's Paul talking about? Run in vain, labored in vain. Paul's saying, look, if no one's going to accept this and believe it, then he said, I've run in vain. If they can't live the life, Paul said, of what I've preached, then he said, then I've run in vain. Now look what Brother Branham says here. Let me find it now. Brother Branham says this. This is in the message, Hear Ye Him. He said, if there's no freedom from sin and living above sin and free from sin, then there's no heaven to go to. Brother Branham, he points constantly at, they can say this, but if the life ain't there. They can say it, he says, but if the life isn't there. He said, we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. You line up with God. If your heart don't beat just with that Bible, then there's something wrong. There's something wrong. No matter what your church says, you can't go by that. Let me just pull this right in there. It don't matter what your grandpa said. It don't matter what some preacher told you, some kind of lie of a homemade religion, of a way to get in without accepting God's program. I'm going to tell you, friends, there's been a bunch of garbage preached around this message. Taking quotes from Brother Branham, that the angel said to Brother Branham about his horse and his dog, all that ever loved you and you love is going to be there. And so people took and twisted that around to mean that devil-living sinners who don't want to surrender their life and actually live the word that this prophet preached can say, I'm going to be there. Because I love Brother Branham, or my mama loved me. Look, y'all know my mother. All right, many of y'all, you know my dad too. Maybe you've got to, over the years after my dad passed, maybe get to know my mom a little bit more. But my dad wasn't much different. My mom, I'll tell you what, there was times where somebody say something to her, she did not hold back. We were at a funeral up there in Ohio. This was a few years back. And there was this man there, and he was about my age, maybe a year or two older than me. But we were, when I was about 21 years old up there going around witnessing and trying to get people in and come to church and people saved and things like that. And this fella, he came in, you know, because his mom and daddy had come in. So he came back from the Marines, so, you know, after a little bit, buddy, he was in. And I'm telling you what, he could shout better than anybody you ever seen. I saw him, and he was a real strong fella, an ex, former Marine. And I seen one time we had these globe lights that kind of hung down in this one building that we was holding services in. And he jumped up and said, amen, like that, and just shattered that thing. Not even meaning to. He wasn't even trying to hit it. Shout everything else. But then he started getting this ideal from his brother-in-law, who's supposed to have been a believer too, that you can smoke pot and still be okay. Because it's not what goes in, it's what comes out of a man. And so here they were getting high on pot and coming and shouting in church. Seven seals been revealed. Amen. Before you know it, they weren't even coming anymore. And their lives just got worse, and they ended up, husband and wives divorced and separated, and just, his wife told us later, she said, I went out to parties and that became a petri dish. And they just went so far deep in sin and everything else. Well, he showed up at this funeral. And he happened to come in there and he sat down on a seat beside my mom. And my mom looked at him and she said, so how are you doing? How you been? He goes, I'm doing really good. She said, no, you ain't. She said, you ain't serving God. You're out there living in sin. You ain't doing good. He said, oh, I'll be all right. She said, what makes you think that? He said, because my mama loves me. He says, and my mama believes this message, and whoever she loves of us is going to be there. Yeah. So if you think I just picked up on that down here, no, that thing's all over the place. That belief and teaching's everywhere. Well, just say you believe the prophet. Well, if you love Brother Branham, well, Jesus said, you say you love me. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love Brother Branham, if you love the prophet God sent, then your life is going to live the word that he preached. And I can tell you this, you ain't going to be sitting at home listening to some tape or some kind of a broadcast or something when you can actually get to church. Listen, friends, I'm going to say this so I'm clear. I am not saying anything about Brother Joseph Branham. I love Brother Joseph Branham. I respect him, but I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of people out here that's telling a bunch of lies. And they're going around telling things about, if you just believe Joseph. But Joseph, you know, he's the prophet now. Some of them's got him now. He's supposed to be greater than Brother Branham. I tell you what, the more they say different things like that, the more they show their spiritual ignorance, that they don't even know this message. As Brother Branham said, there was only going to be one major to an age. One major prophet to an age. Well, I got news for you. We're not living in a new age looking for a new prophet. Look at these people go out here and start their own church. They bounce from church to church to church till eventually, finally, they can't even stay in a church anymore. Then they got to go out and start their own. We had a man right here 26 years ago, got up and made his statement and shook the dust off his feet at the door when they took the vote on November the 1st, 1998. That's always stuck in my mind. 11-1, November the 1st, 11-1. There was 12 people that voted, and the vote came out 11-1. Maybe it means nothing, but I've never forgot it. And so after that brother did that and stormed out of here and all that, you know, Brother Jim got on the phone and was talking to Brother Howard Carroll down there in Manchester. And Brother Carroll knew this brother. And Brother Carroll said, well, I don't know where he's going to go now. He said, he's done that in every church he's ever went to. That's not me. Brother Howard Carroll said that. He knowed him. He said, he's done that everywhere he's went. I don't know where he's going to go now. So after that, just a few years later after that, Brother James Tidwell had some special meetings over there where his church is. And so a bunch of us went over there. And we went over there for that meeting and things, and I think Brother Jewel Forney might have been the one that was coming in there preaching. So we went over there, you know, it was a lot, several of us, you know, and me and Brother Jim Horner, we were standing outside and after the service, and it was dark, you know, and we're standing out there, and this brother that done that, You know, he told me when he walked out the door, he said, "You're preaching Prussia." I said, "No, brother, I'm not." He said, "Well, you're preaching a cousin to it." And he took his shoes, knocked the dust off of them. Oh, yeah, he made a whole show of it, boy. He comes up to me outside of that meeting over, "Brother Jerry, how you doing?" And he comes up, sticks out his hand like that, and he was very, you know, very like dramatic about how he was doing it. And he throws his arm around me like that. "Oh, I just love you, Brother Jerry." And what was going through my head was Brother Barham said, "People say they love you, but you can always tell real quick whether they do or not." You know, and then he walked away, and I looked at Brother Jim. I said, "Would you please check my back and make sure he didn't put a knife in it?" Well, that particular individual, when he came over and visited that service that Brother James Tidwell was having years ago, he didn't have anywhere else to go. So he got some other reprobate young man, and together they start to form their own little work in church. Not a preacher between the two of them. But they were going, "Now, you know, we're just going to start our own church now." You know why people do that? They don't want to come under the headship of Jesus Christ. They start telling people things and trying to influence other minds and things with their thoughts and ideals on them. And some other really God-called minister hears them and corrects them and says, "Brother, that ain't right." Well, boy, they don't want to hear that. So they say, "Hey, y'all, I'm going to make a separate personal whatever chat thing over here, and we'll just all go over there." What are they doing? They're walking away from Jesus Christ. They're rejecting, friends, it ain't the man, the pastor they were sitting under. They're rejecting Jesus Christ. And I can tell you this, friends, they can say they believe Brother Branham, but I guarantee you, if you could take and put them back in the time when Brother Branham was here and in his church, they'd leave him in his church too. You say, "How can you say that?" Brother Branham says it. Brother Branham said, "You think, well, if I was back in the days of Jesus, I wouldn't do what they did. I'd do like this." He said, "No, whatever you're doing now, that's what you'd done back then." These are the people that's going to be so greatly disappointed. Some of them, like I was saying earlier, they cycle into church, but they never get the Holy Spirit. And that spirit that's gone out of and walks in dry places, "I'll return again to my home," it finally comes back, and then they got nothing to hold them when that pull starts pulling on them, that influence. Remember what it felt like to get drunk? Remember what it felt like to do crack? Remember what it felt like to smoke pot? Remember what it felt like to go out and live in all kinds of sin and debauchery? Pleasures of the flesh. They're back out of the church. And they'll say things like, "It wasn't me, it was them people at that church down there. It was that preacher." But then after a little bit, they're living out there and things start getting worse for them again. All the stuff that goes along with all that stuff that they're living and doing starts coming back in on their life and caving in on them. And they start feeling all that pressures of all that stuff. And then they begin to remember what it was like to not be under that. And so they want to get back to that. So that's when they start saying, I've been wanting to come back to church. But then they come back to church and they just do the same thing over again. You say, "Brother Jerry, how do you know what's going to happen?" Well, this is the whole thing. God's got a program. And if they don't start with it, they're never going to get on it. Listen, I'm just going to, you know what, we're just going to take a kid's gloves off. I'm going to lay this out. You know, when Will and Maddie were the last ones, the last of the kids living with us at our house, we took the kids in. You know, there was a bunch of stuff that had been told, a lot of lies that's been spread. We didn't feed the kids and things. That is total lies. We locked up food and didn't let them have food, and we went out to eat. That's lies. They said he would go in his room at night and lock the door. You better bet I did, because I had somebody at one time living in my house. I was afraid he'd come in there and kill me in my sleep. That's how bad it got. You don't know. You weren't there. Well, you should have been showing them love. Brother, sister, I showed them love. And I'll tell you what. You say, how can you say all this? I heard this and that and the other. There's somebody sitting up there in that box up there can witness what I'm telling you is the truth. Now, you watch. He'll tell you. When he was here, he was part of spreading lies. They got mixed up with some other unconverted sister in this church. And they just started making up stuff. And I'll tell you what, it just about totally ruined this place. Little cliques started to form. But look at when Will came back. What did he do? He came back up here, and I'm going to tell you, friends, listen. But he went to Elkton with Brother Phil the Sunday before he showed up here. We heard about it. Lisa, you know, anything that's going on, Lisa's going to let everybody know. So we had heard about it. And so got online and saw what he'd done up there. He got up there and he told him, he said, look, Brother Jerry Browning and Sister Mina Browning, they are my mom and dad. They did show me love. And I'll tell you something, friends. When he came back here the very next Sunday, he didn't bring Brother Phil. I'll tell you, I was halfway expecting him to bring you in my office. But he didn't. He came in there himself. He was a man. He came in there himself. He was sincere. He wanted to be right. He came back in and repented to me in that office. And I said, you want me to call Mom? He said, yeah, bring her in here. So he repented to her. And he said, all right, I want to get up before the church. You know, people have accused me of not preaching love and open arms to people. That's a bunch of garbage. Not showing perfect, real, godly love. Because I won't open my arm to unrepentant people who are rejecting and refusing to repent. But he repented. And I'll tell you what, friends. My whole family accepted and gave him room to show forth fruit. I think it was the following Sunday, and then that Monday, I think, might have been the way it was Memorial Day, and we had a little cookout for the family and things, and Will came over, you know. And I'll tell you something, friends. He's proved out, but there's things that he said to us that he never got up and said in front of this church. He told us about trying to reconnect with his biological daddy. He told us how that went. He told us what happened, things that was said, and how it came out, and how he felt about it. He told us about trying to reconnect with his biological mother, and how what she taught him to do was get high and do mushrooms, and end up living in her basement and was so depressed, he couldn't hardly stand to live. And he said, I thought that because of things he said that was said to me by my older siblings, that I was going to find love with them. He said, but there weren't any. He said, they didn't care nothing about me. And I'm going to tell you this. He would really appreciate it if everybody would quit coming and calling Jason his daddy. because Jason never was a daddy to him. Look, y'all can think what you want about what I'm saying. I don't even care anymore. He's got really stressed out over everybody always coming and giving him reports on what's going on with Jason or what's going on with Jack or what's going on with this one. I'm going to tell you something, friends. You know, you think, well, they're his brother and them, they just want to reconnect with him. Jack called me up on the phone, left me a message, so I called him back. You know why I called him back? So that he couldn't go tell somebody else. I tried to get hold of Brother Jerry, and he wouldn't return my call or call me back. So I called him back. I just want to reconnect with my brother, Will. And then he just started spouting lie after lie after lie after lie after lie. I don't know what's going on, he said, with Jason. I ain't seen him in a while. He had just been camping with Jason, Brother Phil, and Jack out camping together. Lie. And then while he's lying, he couldn't keep the lies going, so then he tells me, yeah, Jason's went over to Johnson City now. So he did know. He told me, look, I just want to be, you know, where we could, if I see you, I can come up and put my arm around you and hug you. I love you. I said, I'm going to tell you something, Jack. You told a whole lot of lies when you left. And I said, and you've maintained and kept up them lies. I said, they got back to me. And I said, unless you repent of that, you cannot just come up and put your arms around my neck. You've got to repent of that and make right. Look, you say, well, I thought you said he was your son. He has chose not to be. Chose. Will has got so distressed out at times because individuals come up and saying, hey, have you talked to your daddy lately? He said, yeah, I just saw him in there. He was preaching. And they said, no, I'm not talking about him. He said, well, that's my dad. Look, I'm the one that raised him. I'm the one that showed it. Look, he'll tell you. He said, look, he says, I didn't know that I was actually being loved by you until I actually got out and was away from it, and then I realized what I didn't have and what I had had. I'm not saying that to lift myself up. I'm telling you, friends, to expose this bunch of stuff the devil keeps trying to do. You want to see perfect love? Right there is perfect love. God dealt with him. You say, brother, you know, you need to reach out to them. Maybe go hang out with them and stuff. It will maybe get them to come and repent. Baloney. You know what got Will to come repent? God dealt with him personally. He gave that testimony. He had this like a nightmare, falling into hell. And how he felt, and he woke up from it in a hotel room over in North Carolina. He said that when he got up, he was so afraid, the only thing he needed to do was he needed to get a hold of God. He needed to pray. And look what it's produced. There's people that try to make him feel condemned because he won't reach out and talk to the other ones. Well, I'm going to tell you something, friends. All they want to do is drag him down. He said Jack would get mad at them if they said anything that didn't follow the narrative that he laid down about me and Mina. Furthermore, let me just really lay this out. I know Jason has called and talked to other people in this church. I don't know what he said to you, but I can tell you this. Whatever he said to you, it could not, I can't believe it was what he called up and said to David. Time and time again. And David kept answering the phone because he was getting a call from Alabama and Jason kept changing his number. And David actually has some work and business down there in Alabama that he gets calls from. So he would just, look, it's his business. If call comes in, he don't recognize the number or whatever, he answered. It could be somebody needing heating and air. And it would be Jason again. And Jason said some awful things about me. He said some awful things about my father. He didn't even know my father. Said some awful things about my brother. He don't even know my brother. And then he come and sat on this pew back here and never bothered to do what Will did and come in here and repent of all that stuff. Instead, he just told people, I want to be right. Hey, let's go out to eat together. He still ain't repented. He's on a cycle. And eventually, friends, if he don't repent, there's no way for him to get the Holy Ghost without repenting. And if he don't repent, he'll never get the Holy Ghost. And without that, there's nothing to hold him, and he'll be right back out there again. I preached a message here, discerning the Spirit. And I'll tell you something, friends. I wanted y'all as a church to discern that Spirit right there. It was a spirit of the devil. It didn't want to repent. It never bothered to repent. I couldn't figure out for the life of me, after all the bad things he said about me, why in the world would he want to come hear me preach? Well, you're motivated by a spirit, and that spirit has a motive. Listen, if he wants to come and repent, I'll tell you, I'll be the first one there. People think I can't show love. They think, well, you just don't give a person a chance. Look at that fella sitting right back there. Look, I held his feet to the fire of the word. I won't be any different for anyone else. You see what it produced? It produced, finally, he came up here and got delivered of them demons that he had packed around for years. First time I met him back here in the back room, he told me, I lie, and I lie so much, I believe myself. And he said, and I've had preachers tell me what I need to do is get baptized. What do you say? And I said, well, I'll tell you this. That ain't going to do you no good. I said, because unless you repent and give your life to the Lord, you'll go down a dry center and come up a wet one. You won't be no different. Well, he gave it a try. We went up here and baptized him in the river up here. He went down a dry center and came up a wet one. But I'll tell you what, friends. Look. He ain't perfect. Ain't none of us perfect. God's still working. Like that song says, God's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. He made the suns, the stars, and the moon, and he's still working on me. But I'm going to tell you something, friends. Something happened up here that day. I believe it was August the 12th of 2000. What year was it? 2012. Something happened up here. Brother Jim was standing right there behind him when it happened, too. Many of y'all was here and witnessed it. It's actually recorded and on tape, the whole thing, somewhere on CD. Because Jessica was at work that Sunday, and so I said to Nate, I said, burn that off on a CD and give it to me. And when Jessica got home from work, I said, you need to listen to this. Because everything was on there. The casting out the devils, what happened, the sounds, the noise, everything was on it. And not only that, the same presence of God that came down here when it happened came down when her and Lydia listened to the CD at the back at the house. God vindicating, he had done something. Look, I've seen too much of the genuine to not be able to discern when it ain't real. telling somebody they need to repent is actually showing perfect love. Whitewashing that thing and making them think they're okay, that is not love at all. Sometimes people get filial love and emotions mixed up with divine, agape, perfect love. You know, sometimes we let our emotions for somebody kind of control what we're thinking and how we're reacting and what we're saying, because we really feel some connection with them. You know, people got this whole thing about, well, you know what, these people are your family. You don't never cut off family. Look, friends, I got family that I don't have a thing to do with. People try to say, Brother Jerry, it seems like you always say your family's better than our family. Friends, I got devils too. And I got family that I don't have a thing to do with. I seen one at a funeral back in April when I went. They wouldn't even speak to me. A few months back, they were wanting to friend me on Instagram, and I wouldn't do it. I'm only on Instagram to see pictures of my grandkids. I have put some pictures and reports out on the mission work that I've done and things, you know, pictures sharing that. But and I haven't posted anything on there in a long time, but I go look at my grandkids and stuff. But anyway, this is a relative of mine. One time I talked to her and I said, listen, I said, you need to get right. I said, do you miss your daddy? She said, yes. I said, well, you ain't never going to see him again if you don't get right. I said, you were raised and grew up in this message. You know what's true and what's right. I told her, you ain't like your other siblings that don't really have any knowledge of this. You know you're going to be held accountable. But she ain't been nothing but a liar, runabout, troublemaker. Causing drama in the family. I don't want nothing to do with that. She lives a sinful life. I ain't got nothing against sinners, friends. I'll go out and eat with sinners. But I'll tell you this, I ain't going to go out and eat with any that's got spirits on them with motives to do me harm or to do the word of God harm. She said, some 20 years ago, my dad and my brother, you know, they sold their double wives over there in Sandusky, and they bought and built new homes in Lorain, you know. And she started going around spreading and said, yeah, they're doing that on the people's money, on their tithing. When I heard that, you know what I said? It wasn't yours because you don't give. I ain't got no time for that kind of stuff and garbage and playing games. People want to play games on God. Well, I'm going to a Baptist church now. Well, I'll tell you what's happened. Just like the Bible said, they've left the tables of God and they've returned to the tables of vomit. He said, just like a dog returns to their vomit. Look, I've got some adopted kids. I've even got a son that is biologically mine. And they've all walked away and turned their backs on this message. And I'll tell you what, sometimes you see things, they're getting worse and worse and worse. And it breaks my heart when I see sometimes, I don't even want to see, but sometimes I'll see pictures of some of my grandkids and granddaughters and the way they're dressed and things and that and how they went. And it breaks my heart. was taught better than that. My son, them kids, all of them, John, Jack, Maddie, Becca, all of them, Lewis, they were all taught better. I stood when Lewis was turning 16, right before he turned 16, is in 2017. I stood in my house and I told him, I said, look, if you keep sneaking out of here and going down the road you're going, you know where you're going to wind up? I said, you're going to wind up just like Jason. You're going to be in jail. He said, I don't want to do what you're telling me to do. I said, life isn't like this. You don't get to ever have a time in your life where you don't got to listen to anybody. I said, if you won't listen to me, if you won't listen to God, if you won't listen to the law, eventually you're going to be standing in front of a judge, and then you ain't going to have no choice. And I said, and he will put you in jail. Well, it must have been like prophecy. I didn't cause him to do that. That was his choice. But I can tell you this too. I don't care who anybody is, friends. Look, you say, well, you treat them different. No, I didn't. I don't even care if it's Jonathan, my biological son. I'm going to tell you what, friends, right now as it stands, if he would die tonight, Jonathan would be facing hell at the judgment. I don't care if he gets online and hears this. It's the truth. You don't walk away from this and then think, well, I'll make me up a religion. I'll make me up something where I'll be okay. It ain't going to happen. They are trying to work out their own salvation. But Brother Branham said what it means to work out your own salvation, and this is what Paul was talking about, is accepting the salvation in the program that Jesus Christ gave and provided. Becoming part of that, accepting it, surrendering to it. Accepting it. Doing it the way the Bible says to do it. And then living the life of Christ. Showing forth fruits of the Spirit. Let's stand. I know I've preached longer on a Thursday night than what I normally do. I didn't have this in my, all I had in my notes, friends, was this scripture and these quotes and things I looked up on this, what Brother Branham said and some other things that I looked up about it and that, about what Paul was talking about. When I looked this up, then things just started jumping out at me. The thing to do, Brother Branham says, from your heart is be a Christian. He said, now enter in at the straight gate, for broad is the way that leads to destruction, and millions times millions in this generation of believers will go in thereat. He said here, he said, there's only going to be a few that's actually saved. There's only going to be a few that actually are part of that bride and make it. Not everybody, Jesus said, that says to me, Lord, Lord. You take that. Listen to what Jesus said. Now listen to what I'm going to tell you as I expound upon that. Not everybody that says, Brother Branham, is going to enter into the kingdom of God. Not everybody that says, I believe this message, I believe this message, is going to enter into the kingdom of God. Because you know why? the prophets of the old talked about people having lip service. They're saying one thing with their mouth, but their life is living something else. Live what you talk. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you this, friends, these preachers, some of these preachers that claim to preach this message and stuff, that's taught some of this stuff about, you know, if you love daddy, mama, or whatever, or all your family, you're going to be there because you're my family and all that. I'm telling you what, they've done such a disservice to the people. Deceivers. And their families have went on believing this, and they have passed it from generation to generation. That's why Brother Branham said their children's children will show up there and say, I got a right to be here. That's why they're going to feel that, because they have been told and taught that stuff. Look, people aren't going to be saved because you love them, and people ain't going to be saved because ain't going to be lost because you hate them, because somebody hates them. They ain't got a thing to do with it. Somebody here recently was saying something about they believed that their daughter was going to be all right and saved, but her mama and stepdaddy wasn't. Well, it's because he loves his daughter and hates them. Well, it ain't got a thing to do with it. Are you living the word? Have you accepted the revealed word of this hour? That is what it's all about. Hallelujah. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, I had no idea these things were going to be said tonight, Lord. I had no idea you were going to take me down. I had no preconceived thought of it whatsoever. But God, I got under the anointing of the Spirit of God, and it just began to roll. And Lord, you know, when that happens, God, I just go on and go with it. Let the chips fall where they will. My daddy, Lord, he used to say the messages like this was a Johnny Ben twister. Hallelujah. Bless us tonight, God. You've blessed us with your word. Bless us as we go. God, I trust, Lord, all those that are not able to be here on a Thursday night for what different reasons, work and health and different things and that, Lord, I trust, Lord, and pray that they'll get and listen to this message tonight. Listen. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Before I turn it over to Nate, I'm going to say I'm going to be here for the next few Sundays. Let's see. Let me pull this up on the calendar. I'm going to be going out of town on November the 3rd, Sunday, November the 3rd. And I won't be back until November the 11th. Me and I are going away for our 42nd anniversary. And this coming Sunday, I'm going to take up the offering to send money over there to help those believers and that that have been so devastated by this storm and things. One of the Sundays coming up, and I'll announce it, I'm going to have a communion foot washing. And we had it, was it in June or when was it? I think in June when we had it last. And so we'll have it here one of these Sundays coming up. Let's see, this Sunday's going to be the 13th, so I got either the 20th or 27th. I'll let you know and how I feel led, and we'll have communion foot washing,
and just pray for me. As sometimes with these, because I felt led when we had these to help, actually always speak on something that's really dealing with the communion and things. And so as the Lord sometimes would give me things, little thoughts and that, I'll just jot it down in my little notepad on my phone so that I can keep it, you know, and refer back to it, you know. And because I'm fixing to be as old as Brother Phil. My memory ain't always what it used to be, you know. And he knows I always tease him. He's my buddy. And me and him born the same year, just 6 months apart. So I jot them little things down. So you just pray for me, and we'll, as the Lord leads, we'll speak something that's dealing with that. And I try to speak it just as down to such a level, so simple. I want the children, especially the children that is feeling that to partake in things, I want them to understand and that, you know. And so we'll just keep that in prayer. And I'll try to make an announcement this Sunday. I'll try to make an announcement which one of those services that will have it. So, amen. God bless you. Amen. Listen, I know I said some things tonight. If anybody's got any issues or something they want to ask me or talk about, you just feel free to come to me. You know, I'm open, you know. So God bless you.